Stand with us and let's honor the reading of the Word of God found in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1 and verse number 40. That's where I'd like to start reading this morning. Good to see our visitors today. Mark 1 and verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And I like what Jesus done. And so Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be thou clean." Thank you for standing this morning, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach out of verse number 41 as the Lord my helper this morning. And he said, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. I want to preach on this Bible thought today. Prayer that moves the hand of God. Prayer that moves the hand of God. Now notice this leper's condition. This leper, he had a terrible condition. Oh my, leprosy is nothing else but in our day and hour a representation of sin. And boy, a little sin will totally turn you into a leper. You can try to hide it, but before long it's going to come out on you. And so we see his condition. I like what he done on his condition though. He came to somebody that could help him. And I like what he said. He came to the right person. And he said to him, "Now if thou wilt, you can make me clean." Now I like the faith of his prayer there. Ain't you glad that you've got a God that can? And I'm going to tell you, sometimes the same God that can, sometimes he just does not. It's not because he cannot. He just chooses to do not. And so I want to preach today on the prayer that moves the hand of God. First of all, I want to talk about the design of prayer. I want you to take some notes today, and I hope it'll help you in your life, on the design of prayer. Do you know much about praying? Do you know much about it? I want to ask you something this morning. I generally don't do this, but I'm gonna ask you something this morning. Anybody in this building that's, and I want you to be honest, anybody in this building that's prayed over an hour this week, I want to see your hand. That's pretty good. Anybody that's prayed 30 minutes this week, I want to see your hand. Now I want to ask you this. Anybody that's prayed 10 minutes this week, I want to see your hand. Now I want to ask you something. How many hours of TV have we watched? I want to ask you this. How many hours have we taken in a restaurant this week? How many times have we been in a Walmart this week? Now let me ask you the good old Southern Baptist question. How many's spent time at a ball field this week? Don't nobody throw a book or a shoe. This ain't President Bush this morning. But I want to ask you today, do you know anything about praying? We've heard a lot about it, but I wonder, do we really do much of it? Praying. Now, I want to say this. There is a design of prayer. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, and in verse number 9, I want to talk about the design of prayer. I wrote this down. I got a few quotes this morning with Scripture. I want you to listen. Prayer is the blessed means which God has appointed to bring every grace from Christ to the believer. Prayer is communing and corresponding with Christ. It is the means of cultivating and keeping up perfect friendship and fellowship with a friend that loveth at all times. In Matthew 6 and verse number 9, the design of praying. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray. In other words, He's going to give us the design of prayer. He's going to tell us how to pray. This is what He said. He says, our Father, I'm glad I have one. I'm glad I've got a good one. I'm glad I've got the one that sits on the throne and does as it pleases Him this morning. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. Where's God? The Bible says He's in heaven. He's ruling and reigning as He sees fit. Then this is what He says. Hallowed or holy be Thy name. Listen, God ain't on our level, friend. God's not on a buddy system. God is holy and reverend is His. This is not Reverend Ken Bowman. That's hypocrisy. That's blasphemy. There ain't a reverend down here nowhere. I'm Brother Ken or Pastor Ken. Holy and reverend is His name. You send me a card, don't put Reverend Bowman on there. I'll let you down in a hurry. And so we see holy, hallowed is His name. Thy kingdom come. Now here it is. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh my. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I need to read that again. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That debt is fault or dues. Faults or dues. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now there is a design of prayer. It is the means by which God has appointed to bring every grace from Christ to the believer. Prayer is communing and corresponding with God. And it is the means of cultivating and corresponding with Christ. It is that of which it has to do in keeping perfect friendship and fellowship. The design of prayer. But then number two, can we look at the delight of prayer? It may surprise you what this Bible says about the delight of prayer. In Proverbs 15 and verse number 8, if you'd go there with me today, in Proverbs 15 verse number 8, the Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The delight of praying. It is His delight to hear from His children. I wonder how many of you has parents that live away, and what a blessing it is when you call them. I have a mother some 230 miles or so from Bowden, and it seems like it always makes her day when I take time out of my day to call her. I mean, I can just see her light up when I call. Did you know that God said in the book of Proverbs that it is His delight to hear from His children? Can I ask you, how can we keep a friendship with the friend of God if we do not communicate with Him as our friend? How in the world could you be my friend if I did not correspond and speak to you? My best friend here this morning, she's sitting here by my youngest child, and I can tell you, she wouldn't be my best friend long if we didn't talk to each other. Friends. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. So God delights to hear from us. Has He heard from you today? You know, I get to thinking about a lot of times I get so busy and I neglect to call my mother the way I ought to call her. But Brother Gerald, every time I do, I can just tell on the other end of that phone, it's, oh, I'm so glad you called. I wonder, would it be a blessing to our Father if we'd call and check into Him today? You parents, let me ask you this, put it in this perspective now. Our children have moved away from home, but it's always a blessing when they stop by. I wonder how many of you parents this morning, and I want to see your hand, that's old enough that can relate to what I'm saying. Do you like your young'uns calling in to where you live? Can I see your hand this way? Hold them up, don't be. I wonder, do you like hearing from your young'un? I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that wrote this Bible that one day saved us by the grace of God that loves to hear from us every day. I want to know how they do it every day. I go on a trip, I call, I say, Mama, have you heard from the young'uns? Are they doing okay today? Oh, how He delights in our praying. I wonder how many times we let Him down because we don't call. Wonder how many times do we grieve Him because we don't correspond to Him. A lot of you, the only time you pray is when you got trouble. Only time you pray is when you got a flat tire. You use God like a spare tire. You put Him in the trunk. And sort of like the way you do on Sunday service, you just hit or miss. You ought to get dedicated at the house of God. Somebody say amen. You ought to get dedicated in prayer. Listen, I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. And so I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. He delights in our praying. Boy, ain't it something when I hit my knees, go to calling on my Father that loves me and sees about, He loves to hear from His young'un. The delight of praying. Not only the design of praying and the delight of praying, but I want to share this thought. There is a demonstration of praying. 1 Peter 5, verse number 7. 1 Peter 5, and verse number 7. There's a demonstration of praying. Prayer is a pouring out the soul unto God and placing before Him all our troubles. It is a casting all our cares upon Him who cares for us. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, Peter's writing, Brother Tim talked about him this morning. Boy, Peter had so let God down. I don't think it took God by surprise, because He said, boy, listen, time the cock crows, said, you're going to deny me three times today. I don't believe that we take God by surprise, do you? God knows our beings. He knows our goings. But here we see this demonstration of praying, and this is what Peter said. Here's a Peter that's been restored back into fellowship. He's won hundreds to the name of Christ by preaching the gospel. He's a dying man fixing to walk out of this life, and he wants to leave just a little nugget about praying to us. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Aren't you glad somebody cares for you? It's nothing, I guess, any more cruel or any more heartless to think that nobody cares for you. Boy, it's awful when you think nobody cares. But I want you to see something here in this text on this demonstration of praying. He says casting. That has to do with throwing a net, getting rid of, casting. All your care. That word care simply means worries or troubles. And look what it says. Cast them upon Him. Ain't you glad He's big enough to take care of your trouble today? See, this is our problem a lot of times. We want to put all our cares and troubles on our loved ones. But He says bring them and put them upon Him. And this is what we do a lot of times. I wish that we could get past this point. A lot of times we have cares and worries and troubles. And we come up here and we say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you. And it's yours and you've told me to bring it. Now I'm going to get it back, put it in my pocket, and go back and sit down. Boy, I wish we could leave it with Him. Casting all your cares upon Him. For look what He says. For He careth for you. Aren't you glad that it is an ongoing process of how He cares for us? Now look, in Psalms 91 and verse number 11, I want to get something before I run off and leave it though in verse 7. That thing of casting, it's not singular, it's in a plural form. Casting, casting, casting. An ongoing process all day long. I notice this, when I cast something, then something else comes. So I've got to find myself daily casting, casting, casting all my cares on Him. Now in Psalms 91, look in verse number 11. Psalms 91, in verse number 11. The demonstration of praying. This is what He said. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all thy way. That wreck you escaped, that wasn't no luck you got out of that. When you ought to be in hell with your back broke this morning, that wasn't a roll of a dice, honey. Bible's not like Las Vegas. The grace of God has kept. He said He'll give His angels charge over you. In other words, you've got some designated angels that see about you that you don't know nothing about. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample on his feet. Here it is, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, I like this, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble, and I'll deliver him and honor him. Now I want to deal with something right here. I picked it out there last night. I'll be with him in trouble. Can I tell you, He didn't come down here to get you out of trouble. He come down here to get in trouble with you. Over on the stern of the water, at the pool of Bethesda, the Bible said when the water was troubled, the lame couldn't get in it. Said he couldn't get there because everybody else was jumping in ahead of him. The Bible said when the angel come and stirred the water, if any man of whatsoever disease he had, if he could get in there, he was healed. Boy, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't just come to get you out of trouble. He come to get in trouble with you. Boy, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. A lot of times you never would know what kind of Jesus you'd have if He didn't get in trouble with you. When trouble come, if He got you out of that trouble, you never would know the God of the trouble. He walks in trouble with you. Boy, I'm glad of that this morning. And oh, there's a great demonstration of praying. He says, if He'll call on me, I'll answer Him and I'll be with Him in trouble and I will deliver Him and honor Him. The demonstration of praying. But then I want to talk about, fourthly, a defense of praying. A defense of praying. What's one reason why I should pray? Well, prayer is a defense against the spirit of this world. It's a bar to the inroads of vanity. I like this. It's a maul upon the head of the old man. It's a triumph over a vicious enemy. It's amazing what prayer do to this old man. You ever been flustered and frustrated? Just sort of at you, ropes in. And all of a sudden, for some reason or the other, you happen to think about something that the preacher said about praying. And you go into your prayer place and you start praying. And all of a sudden, you get so much help. Isn't it amazing of how this defense of praying works? We've got a real devil in this world. Young people, he's a real devil. Boy, he'll offer you all the goods of the world. Our nice billboards posted in our community. Anheuser-Busch has a nice one with the great Clydesdales pulling that big, nice Budweiser wagon. They're all painted up. Remind me of a little pig with a painted tail. You turn him loose, he'll go to a mud hole every time. And so it looks so nice and it's so social to go down and get you a Bud Light because it's low calorie and sort of just ooze around and smooze with the crowd and take your little social drink. But what that billboard don't show you, it don't show you the nasty picture on the backside of what this preacher's seen. Devil paints you a pretty picture, don't he? Prayer is a great defense of this old spiritual wickedness that comes against us. Oh, I'm telling you, man is in an awful place without prayer. Prayer is the greatest privilege God could ever give to us. Can you imagine a holy God on a throne and He summons you to come and talk to Him? A lot of you, I'm going to ask you something, Miss Smart. How many of you could dial the White House and ask to speak with our president? I wonder how many calls you'd have to make till he even recognized that you existed. And then you wouldn't be big enough. You wouldn't be in power enough to talk to the president. What a divine honor we've got to talk to a holy God that put our president in the seat, that put you on this seat. What a divine opportunity we've got as a child of God to talk to somebody like Him. What a divine opportunity. What better thing could He have given us of this thing of prayer? By the way, prayer does change things. Prayer does change things. I remember one time, oh, I won't go there. Prayer does change things. I can tell you one thing, it's changed me. You know, I read about an old Puritan writer today, Brother Gerald. He said this thing of the defense of prayer is sort of like if you're in a rowboat and you're on a lake and you take an anchor and you cast it to the shore. And Brother Wayne, as you start pulling that anchor and that rope in that boat, it's not that you pulling that throne of grace closer to you, because it ain't a moving. What it's doing is pulling your boat more toward the throne of grace. Can I tell you, honey, we ain't going to pull Him closer to us. Oh, this thing of prayer, it pulls us closer to Him. I'm glad my anchor holds this morning in the throne of God that can change situations and circumstances. Don't give up on the God of the Bible that can change things this morning. Prayer does change things. He says, pray without ceasing. Ye that are sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. Pray one for another. Prayer does change things. And so we see this great demonstration, this great defense of prayer. Now this is where I want to get to, on this defense of prayer. Why should we pray? Look, if we would, in Mark 14 and 32. Mark 14 and 32. The defense of praying. The Bible said they came to a place that was named Gethsemane. He said to His disciple, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." If the Lord Jesus prayed, I wonder how much more we ought to pray. He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and to begin to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And He said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. If it was possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Father, all things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." You know, it was a wonderful day when I figured out I don't even know what to pray for. How come? Let me tell you something. This thing of praying is not unconditional. You don't demand nothing from a God on the throne. It's about asking. It's about asking. You're not going to demand nothing, friend. Matter of fact, the prodigal son, his total wrong started when he got what he demanded from the father. So watch this. He come and findeth them sleeping, said to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Question mark. Look at that thing. Simon, are you asleep, boy? Couldn't you not watch just 1 hour? Now watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I don't know about y'all, but I need the defense of praying because I don't want to enter into the temptation. Look what he says, lest you enter into temptation. Now listen to me, child of God. I'm closing. Listen, get this. Temptations is coming, but you ain't got to enter into it. The devil's going to tempt you. The world's going to tempt you. This flesh is going to tempt you, but you ain't got to run into it. You know when you get in trouble? It's when you enter into that temptation. Jesus said if you'd pray, he said, listen to me, boy, your flesh is weak, but your spirit's willing. He said, you better be praying. You better know something about the defense of praying to keep you from entering into that temptation. Oh, my, how many times have we entered into temptations? If we had just prayed, it'd put a lock on the door of the temptation. Isn't it easy to get in over our heads with more bills than what we can pay? People blame the bankers. It's not the bankers. You know, something don't add up. You go borrow $200,000, you make $1,000 a month, your payment's $1,500 a month. It don't take big country boy math to realize you $500 short and you ain't bought a hamburger yet. Enter into temptation. You got things pulling at you, pray that you enter not into temptation. Oh my, this thing of carnality is awful. This flesh is wicked. We need the defense of praying. Look in Romans 8:26. Here's a powerful passage on prayer. Romans 8:26. I feel like I'm rushed this morning on time. Are we doing okay on preaching? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now look what it says. We know not what we should pray for as ye ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions, a go-between for you, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, who? God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, here is a realm of praying that not many of you probably ever even got into. This is not lay me down, go to sleep on my pillow prayer. This is alone in your closet, putting yourself prostrate before a holy God and saying, Holy Ghost, take over. Holy Ghost, show me and tell me. Pray to the Father what I need. You're in me and you know what I need. I don't even know what to ask for at times. You've got to get in a place quiet. You've got to give God some time. You've got to get there alone so the Holy Ghost can minister to the throne of God for you. Oh my, this morning, there is a great defense of praying. There is a flesh, a world, and the devil. Brother Tim had me to turn to something, and now I'm going to close in a minute, but I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to give an invitation shortly. Did you know that we were created after the image of God? Did you know that God is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Therefore, it lets me know that man is a Trinity. We have a body. Listen to me. We're world conscious. That's physical senses, sight, smell, and speech. We have a body. Secondly, we have a soul. We have a soul. That soul is what leaves this body to go to an eternal world. Heaven if you saved, hell if you lost. Soul is the emotional consciousness. Your self-consciousness, your will, your emotions, the center of your intellect. And everybody has a will. That is your soul, the body, the soul, and then the spirit. That makes us God conscious. When man is saved, he receives a new spirit. This is what amazes you, and some of you may disagree. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Till God quickens the spirit, puts His spirit in you, you have the spirit of an antichrist, the spirit of a depraved devil. And until God moves in and quickens your spirit, moves in you with the Holy Ghost, then you can worship Him how? By spirit and in truth. Dead man can't worship God. He has no spirit to worship Him. He has the spirit of the world. Boy, ain't you glad when God come in and the Holy Ghost moved. Come in, made a residence in your heart and quickened you, and the seed of the Word of God started something in you, and now you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm convinced the reason a lot of people don't worship Him is because they don't have His spirit in them. They're churchy, they're religion, but they don't have the Holy Ghost that lives. You listen to this preacher, you're going to die. You're going to die and you're going to meet God. And your religion ain't getting you in heaven. Your good works and your good attitude is going to fall. You better have the Holy Ghost living in you. The Bible said if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It's not about getting there and seeing if your good works outweigh your bad. You better know you're saved. If somebody big as God, the Holy Ghost lives in you, you'll know it soon. No reason for you to leave this world without Him. You've got a gospel. You've got the convicting of the Spirit, and you better humble yourself down and be obedient to the Spirit of God and do what He's asking you to do. Pride's going to put you in hell, friend. Pride. Oh my, this morning, how we need the defense of praying. I don't know about you, but this flesh gets me in a lot of trouble. This thing running out to the world, friend, it rears its ugly head up on me often. I just hate to think where some of you are. There ain't many days of my life that I don't start my first hours of the day in my altar and in my study in the Word of God. And I just hate to think where some of my church members at that don't even pray. You ain't got a chance in this world. Defense of prayer. You want your home right? Pray. You want your life right? Pray. You want your church right? Pray. You want to see sinners saved? Pray. Pray. We live in a new modernistic religious world that just a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of God's all right. It's enough. It's not enough. You must be born again is what Jesus said. All roads don't lead to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, my friend, how we need the defense of praying. Now, the dedication of praying. Matthew 7:7. Have you ever prayed and God didn't answer your prayer? Matthew 7:7. Have you ever prayed? Look what He says now. The dedication of praying. Asked. Shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, shall be opened. For everyone that asks, receive. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be open. You say that word knocketh, underline it. This right here. And I walk away from it, I knocked. But when I step back in here and I'm doing this, day after day, evening after evening, you know what I'm doing? That means He knocketh. A continual petitioning before the throne. God, help me. dedication of praying. Knocketh. Then lastly, distractions of praying. Distractions of praying. Miss Julie, if you can, I wish you'd just play something for me today. I want to try to challenge somebody's heart in this invitation. Distractions of praying. You ever seen it in the Bible? How distracted we can get. Luke 22 and verse 40. You know what I was thinking? I don't know, maybe it's not a lot of people here like me. I hope not. You'd be a lot better off. But I want to say this about these distractions of praying. You've heard me preach a lot and say this. I don't like being by myself. I don't like Brother Tommy being home alone. I don't like any place I go, brother. I want companion. I want somebody with me. But you know something? What I've noticed, if you'll start praying, somebody is going to show up or call. Distractions. I want you to look what these disciples experienced. I want you to look. What distracts you from praying? The disciples experienced it. Matthew 22:40. The Bible said when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Dear God, I don't want to get in that temptation. God, I don't want to enter into it. So I better pray. Watch this. 41. He is withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. About as far as you could throw a rock. And this is what he done. He kneeled down and he prayed. And he said, Father, thou be willing to remove this cup from me. Here he is again. He never lets go of this truth. Nevertheless, not my will. God, I wish we could get in that verse 42 right there. I had changed our praying. But thine be done. There's some things that's happened in my life. I said, God, why have you allowed that? Wouldn't you change it? God, God, why? There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, being in agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, it were great drops of blood, Brother Tim, falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into that temptation. And here it is, 47, the distractions of praying. And when he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas drew near unto Jesus. Soon as he was telling his boys to pray, there was multitudes of distractions that come even as he was instructing them to pray. Now this is my thought. Distractions, what are they? Time. Self. Don't tell me you ain't got time to pray. Tell me, Pastor, I don't take time to pray. You want your life changed? You want your home changed? You want your heart changed? Granddaddy, listen. Your grand younguns know where you fish and where you hunt. They know where the lawnmower is that you cut your grass. You ride them on it. Do they know where you pray? Have you got a place designated at where you live, where you pray? Ladies, do you think this is just a male gender Bible? He says, pray. Do you need help this morning? I can tell you how to get it started and on your way. Pray. I can tell you how to reach your loved ones by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's pray. I can tell you how to change your job. Pray. I can tell you how to change your kids. Pray. It's not a sin His grace cannot pardon. It's not a corruption and it cannot help. It's not a burden it cannot sustain. It's not a sorrow He can't soothe. It's not a difficulty that He can't surmount. That's my heart this morning. I preached about prayer that moves the hand of God. You want to see God's hand move on your situation? What you need this morning?